Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. Today, Friday, December 17th, 2010, we are delighted to welcome Randy Painter, the founder and CEO of Care2.com. Welcome, Randy, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
I could not be happier to have you on at this time of year, especially when there are so many people in need and Care2 does so much to help people. And I thought we would probably, you know, that's probably a better place than any to start to talk about what Care2 is and how it can, right now, as people are you know, at computers or nearby them, can actually log on and make a difference.
Sure. Well, so Care2 is the largest site helping people to live a more healthy and sustainable lifestyle and get involved in good causes. And you can think about there are basically three different areas on the site. So there's kind of information. You can learn how to reduce toxins in your home, kind of find more balance in your life, and all sorts of information on causes such as human rights or social welfare, animal welfare, et cetera. And then there's kind of a social dynamic, so a community area where pretty much the whole site is about community, but areas for individuals to connect around causes, around you know, topics that they're passionate about. And then the third area is really kind of our action center where people can take action on behalf of one of our 500 nonprofit partners to make a difference and kind of raise their collective voices to impact legislation or business or whatever you know, is the topic of the day.
Right. So there's some interesting pieces. I feel like Care2 did a great job of pulling together. Everybody listening, if you put your thinking caps on and remember back to the days of the petition site, you know, click here and this will help with breast cancer, and then it expanded. I think it started with breast cancer, and then I think it went to needy children or maybe pets, and it just expanded and expanded to the areas you could click to generate donations. That now sits in Care2 as just one of the action areas. Is that right?
Yeah. So we have we actually started with our click to donate for the rainforest, where you could click a button and generate a donation to support saving, I think it was seven square feet of rainforest land. And what happens there is when you click a button, you see a series of advertisements on the next page, and those advertisers pay Care2, and we actually send the money on to a good organization that's helping to protect the rainforest, in this case, the Nature Conservancy. And there's a series of those click to donate that we offer, so you can support children, you can support animals, and stop global warming, a whole bunch of different areas like that.
And it's cool because it's all social network plugin, or it's plugged into all your social networks if you want it to be. So if you go ahead and create a profile on Care2, it actually does two things. One, you can connect it to Facebook, and you know, you can, you know, you guys are great about letting people decide whether they want to broadcast, whether or not they've clicked to be behind a cause. But you also can, if you create your profile, you can actually view your impact. So I'm looking right now at you know, the total impact, and like there's a new area called Fight Cholera. So you know, it's encouraging me to click that, and there's a couple areas I haven't clicked yet, but you know, it's nice to be able to see, you know, 4 days of computer energy use offset from some of the clicking that I've done, and I, you know, haven't used the clicking that much, but it's nice that it's all consolidated into one place, and you can help encourage other people to do the same.
Yeah, I mean, our goal here was to make it really, really easy for people to make a difference. And so we started this, I think it was probably like 11 years ago now, 10 or 11 years ago, when this area of the site was launched. And the goal was that if you kind of, the idea was that if you could make it really easy and something that someone could feel good about doing every single day, that even though you know, these are not each individual action unto itself is not going to change the world overnight, but what it is it is making a step toward the right, you know, solution towards a better world. And what it's doing is helping people to realize that there is something that they can do. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it'll be a bigger opportunity, but everybody is empowered if they just kind of realize that they have that power. Everybody has the power to make a difference. And so the more that they do that, hopefully on a daily basis, the more they realize that, the more that becomes kind of who they see themselves as. So somebody who is clicking a button to, let's say, save the rainforest, they will kind of realize that they are kind of that they care about the environment. The more they click, that they are doing something about the environment, and hopefully that they eventually become to see themselves as really a protector of the environment. And when they start kind of seeing themselves in that light, then when it comes time to making a bigger purchase, or when it comes time to maybe voting, then they're more likely to act in concert with how they perceive themselves. And so, you know, we're trying to basically leverage that. The psychology there to create bigger changes in the world. And then the other thing is also the more that they take these actions and the more that they see themselves as, you know, doing good things, the more they're likely to talk about it with their friends. And their friends are also influenced, of course, by their actions. And so, you know, there's a ripple effect that goes far beyond the individual clicks that you see here on the site.
Yeah, and so you talked about the education side, and I know for me, I get the emails, the health and wellness emails, and I remember I got one that was on, you know, kind of things, you know, like vinegar and other things that can purify the home, you know, so you don't have so much chemical dependency. Your chemical dependency. That sounds different than what I meant to say.
But that is true. We do.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I just was clicking on the section now, and obviously one that we've got right now is a lot of people are hosting holiday parties. Very timely article on three simple ways to reduce holiday waste. So, you know, e-cycling. Don't forget the rechargeable batteries and recycle the old ones. And there's a link to tell you how to do it if it's not easy and intuitive in your community. And if it still works, donate it. So what I love about it is you've got, you know, this huge area that you could just have pages and pages on, and it's so well done the way that you just kind of crystallize it to three things so everybody can feel like if you do these three things, it's a little, you know, everything's a little step in the right direction.
Right. Yeah, we have, it says 5,000 topics. I think there's probably something more like 10,000 pages of ideas on how to live a more healthy and green lifestyle. And they're usually in this very simple tip format so that you can get quick ideas on whether it's about your family life, whether it's about your, you know, food and recipes or crafts, whatever it is, holidays, whatever it is that you're interested in, you're going to probably find some ideas that are here on Care 2. We also have newsletters that we send out. We've got about 1 million subscribers to this Healthy and Green Living Area newsletter alone. And so you know, every day we're sending out more of these tips and ideas. And also there's also news aspects of it as well to help people keep on top of what's happening, because there's a fair bit of you know, there are new revelations that come up, and, you know, the whole the BPA topic of this kind of liner that was used in so it's often actually in these bottles that we thought were kind of free of plastics that we thought were kind of healthy for us. Turns out that they were, you know, lined with BPA. Kind of news like that you'll find on you know, in our Healthy and Green Living section. So it's kind of scary when you realize all of the toxins that are out there, but there are also there are a lot of, you know, really healthy and helpful ideas here on how to avoid a lot of those toxins, and you really can if you want to. So that's where, you know, we're trying to help people to educate people and inspire them also to find a greener, more sustainable way to live.
Right, and for those that don't know about BPA, BPA was kind of hit the headlines probably about 2 years ago, or around that time. Am I right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think that's about right. Yeah, I mean, it had been kind of it was something that the kind of, you know, the insider green community knew about before that, but it really kind of hit the headlines probably. It's probably about right 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I know that there were employers, people that employed people that I even knew that, you know, had given away, you know, a lot of the bottles that, you know, have branding of schools or whatever, and you'd refill the bottle and feel like, oh, I'm not using a, you know, another piece of plastic that, you know, is potentially recyclable, but, you know, I'm not, you know, the idea is that you're reusing. And then you find out that, you know, a lot of people were told to look for a certain number underneath the bottle, and it meant that it did or didn't have BPA in the bottle leaching into potentially your water. So that's, you know, obviously really, really important to take into consideration. And there's so many things like that. But I think the nice approach about the CARE 2 site is that it puts it in nice bite-sized pieces so you can, you know, you can do something actionable or think about things in a different way.
Right. And we try to keep it positive, too, because there is a lot of kind of negativity out there, too much of that. And so and some of these things, these topics are scary. And so but there are, you know, there are positive ways to see these things and to help people to, you know, empower people to do the right thing and to go the right direction and to lead a healthier lifestyle and also a more sustainable lifestyle. So we've got a lot of those tips on our site.
So another area besides, so there's the way the site is sort of organized, there's the causes and news, where you can even submit a story yourself to the news network if you feel it's important. And maybe you should talk a little bit about how that works.
Sure. So, yes. So for listeners that are familiar with DIG, it's very similar to that, where basically individuals in the community can submit a story from anywhere on the web that they think is important for other CARE 2 members to learn about. When they submit that story, then other members will basically vet it or will we'll take a look at it, and if they think that it is worthy of being on the homepage, they'll basically note it, as we in our vernacular. They'll basically click a button to say it's important. And if enough people click on that to say it's important, then it will get on our homepage. And so you end up with basically kind of a zeitgeist of what our CARE 2 members think are the important topics. And you also get a lot of discussion happening about these stories. So it's an easy way for people to get informed on a lot of the kind of the breaking news stories and a lot of the hot topics that are out there, and not just from the story itself, but also through the commentary that our members are contributing. And there are a lot of people that spend a lot of time researching these things and involved in that area and are very savvy. And so you can learn a lot by spending some time on what we call C2NN, which is our CARE 2 News Network.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool that it's user generated. You know, we take user generated questions as part of this show, and so that's obviously a really, I think, important part for people to take note of, that they can definitely have a big say in the way this site works, what's visible, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's also one of the it's important because a lot of the stories that you see on C2NN are not stories that you're going to find in mainstream media. And so the mainstream media has its they have their agenda, and there are and they want to do what's most interesting, kind of provide what's most interesting for mainstream audiences. But what happens on through CARE 2 is that you get people who are out there kind of looking at some of the alternative press areas and interesting blogs of all sorts, and then bring them back in, and then the CARE 2 members are kind of looking at that and seeing what they think should really be the most important stories, and you end up with stories that you wouldn't find in like a CNN or something like that. You also sometimes get breaking stories. We actually had there was a story, actually this is back a few years ago, but when Bush was president, and turns out he had authorized basically the ability for the government, federal government, to look at people's emails and I think it was the phone, listening on phone calls as well. And that was not publicly known before somebody actually broke that story on a CARE 2 member did on C2NN. So you get, you know, there's a lot of neat things that are happening in this network, and it's all user generated. It's just it is amazing to see how quickly people jump on stories and what you can find out there that you wouldn't find out in other places.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. I think another exciting piece, for at least for me, and I was telling you before we started, I always tell people, you know, when I'm speaking at events or whatever, you know, ignore me on the weekends if it bugs you to get action alerts, because that's when I get to all of my petitions and, you know, you should donate for this, or, you know, all of that type of thing. But the piece of the site that I use a lot is actually the part where, you're signing petitions. And you're certainly one of the, you know, you're not the only site, but you definitely are the most trafficked in terms of petitions. And you know, actual users have the ability to create those petitions as well. So I thought that would be kind of a nice thing to spend a bit of time talking about as well.
Sure. So, yeah. So the way that I came up with that idea, this is probably about 11 years ago, I think it was, we were getting, I don't know if you remember, but we used to get these kind of chain letters that were sent around via email of basically someone would send out, here's a petition, you need to add your name to it. Everyone would kind of sign their name to the email, and they would send it on to their friends who would add their name to the
yep.
email. And, you know, and it would never go anywhere. And you get just, you know, millions of these copies of emails of everybody trying to do the right thing and passionate about these topics. But it wouldn't ever do any good. And so I saw that and I was like, there's got to be a better way to help kind of create real value, real change out of what all of this passion and interest. And so we created the petition site by to basically aggregate all of these petitions on a single site where anyone can basically create a petition and then anyone can sign a petition. And because we've collected all of the names in one place, and we've got some kind of fraud prevention techniques there, and we deliver the petitions, we can actually end up making a real impact with all that passion. And so we launched the site, and then within, I think, like 2 weeks, we had our first success story where a woman up in near Denali National Park had wanted to protect the wolves that were in the park, but they were wandering outside of the park because the wolves didn't understand that there were boundaries of the park. And so when they walked outside of the park, hunters could kill them. And so she ended up creating this petition, got something like 10,000 signatures within a few weeks, and brought it to the game board and convinced the game board to protect, to create a basically a buffer zone around Denali National Park to protect those wolves that strayed out of the park. And so that was kind of our first success, and that ended up getting a fair bit of press, and then more people started creating petitions on our site, and it kind of took off from there. So that's been an important area on Care 2. We have something like, I don't know, something like 7 million subscribers now who are receiving action alerts from us on a whole variety of topics, and that's where we work with, I think, probably over 500 different nonprofit organizations to get their action alerts out to our members. So it's a really neat service. We've actually also recently launched it on Facebook so that if you create a petition on Care2, on Care2's petition site, it will also show up on Facebook. And then we also have a widget version of it, basically, where we work with some of the largest publishers out there, such as Huffington Post, and we've got Mother Jones and Grist and a number of other publishers who will host petitions on their site that are basically originating from Care2's petition site, but then they're distributed out onto this this network of publishers so that people can sign all over the place. And I think right now we reach around 12 million people every month through this network. So it's a pretty powerful platform.
Yeah, it's amazing when you think about if you look through the different kinds of causes that there actually are. What I like about it is you can actually see who sponsored it. So, you know, you'd mentioned Nature Conservancy as one of the organizations doing something else on your site, but they do also create petitions, and I'm a member, so I know, you know, enough about the organization to feel like, oh, yeah, I'll sign this. Because, you know, there are some of those petitions out there, you're like, I don't know, if, you know, I want to be associated with this, but it's all transparent in terms of who's behind it. So you kind of, you know, you can always look up more information if you don't know who the organization is or if somebody new has sprung up. So there's always that sort of disclosure, which I like as well.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, with any kind of big change that we're all trying to create here, it takes a variety of kind of folks to work to create that change. So the individuals can add their voice to a petition and make that petition powerful. What that's doing is helping to back some of these nonprofits that are sponsoring these petitions and giving them a stronger voice when they go to lobby, let's say, a Congress to enact certain legislation. So it's all part of this this ecosystem of creating a change and of getting new laws passed or kind of protecting our natural resources. So it's important to have these organizations be part of the solution, although they're not the only ones that are making a difference here. So there are also individuals can also create a petition, and we call them basically citizen petitions versus nonprofit sponsored petitions. Citizens can come and create a petition as well. And, like the example I gave with the Denali Wolf petition, that was created by a citizen, and she had, real results. And so it's easier to know when you see the logo of a nonprofit that you can trust it, but there certainly are a lot of great things the citizens are doing as well by creating their own petitions on Care2.
Absolutely. And sometimes you even get sort of celebrities doing, people known in their field signing petitions as well, I believe. I think one time I saw a petition, and maybe she's considered an organization at this point, but Donna Brazile, who used to be, I think she was Hillary Clinton's, what was her role? She was Hillary Clinton's press secretary or something like that, I think was her title. But she was in the Clinton White House and certainly a very powerful woman in politics. Even today, you see her as on lots of different shows. But I think one time I logged on and she had created a petition. And like I said, she may be count as an organization now or have been doing it for an organization. But you get all kinds of people. And I just remember thinking, wow, it's amazing that the variety of people that you get, in this network of basically peers. I mean, when it comes to creating a petition, it's in your hands whether or not you're going to create that petition, which is very, very cool.
Yeah, no, it's really been neat to see some of the uses of this and the enthusiasm around it, and it's amazing. I mean, and obviously petitions aren't the only way that people have been able to raise their collective voice and to kind of get empowered through the internet. But it is I think it's an important piece of that, where you think back, 15 years ago or so, even not that long ago, we really didn't have nearly the power that we have today. And so, we get when someone puts a petition up against a company, we almost always, or often anyway, get a call from the company saying, calling to us and trying to get us to take it down, or trying to basically understand what's going on, or respond to it, basically. And so they are getting noticed, and it has a real powerful impact. And I think particularly now where the public understands the power of social media, all of a sudden, maybe they're getting even more powerful because people just recognize the power of all these people coming together, and that anybody can see this, and it does have a real impact. So it's a neat thing to be part of.
So tell me, so now you're the founder and CEO. Tell me how your journey with Care2 began. What start us with the year and what you were doing and how you came up with the concept and where you started.
Well, so I started it in 1998, so about 12 years ago now. It's hard to imagine it's been that long, but the genesis of the idea came years before. I was actually, I was 11 years old. I was on the Amazon with my father, who was an ornithologist. He was studying Latin American birds, and went from a small port town in the southern tip of Colombia, up the Amazon into Brazil, and to a pretty remote tribe, actually, is in Peru, and it And as we went from this port town, which really was didn't have any forest in it, and we kind of went deeper into the jungle, I noticed that the health of the towns got better, actually. There was less alcoholism, less kind of disease and overt poverty, I would say. And certainly the health of the ecosystem got better as we got deeper into the jungle. And so I realized that, modernization was really doing a lot of harm to the environment and to the indigenous peoples down there. And it had such a profound impact on me, even as an 11-year-old, that I really wanted to do something to make a difference. And so I spent... I thought about that a long time as I through high school and through college, and then eventually ended up going to business school and started actually an electronic greeting card company right out of school. And I learned about the power of viral marketing, and I was
electronic greeting card company. Did you?
I did it with a couple of partners. It's called eCards.com, and
okay.
Basically, it was the first electronic greeting card company, and we were generating donations to support environmental organizations actually even then. So it just happened to be that I had some photographs from my travels. A friend of mine knew something about programming. We put the email together with photos, and we said, voila, there were greeting cards. And so that was kind of the beginning of it.
Not to stop you again, but
yeah.
But I'm so curious, what did you decide to major in as an undergraduate, having had that rich history?
It was history of science, which included history and science as well as history of science. This is about as liberal arts a major as you can get. so didn't really know exactly how I was going to change the world, but I knew I wanted to, and I figured I'd get a broad education. It's a good foundation, not exactly all that practical, but a good foundation.
But it led you to business school, so you ended up going to business school.
Yeah.
And that seems like a little bit of a departure. So what was the impetus there to decide to get into business? Because a lot of times, I know altruistic people sometimes will say, business, really skeptical, I'm not so sure about that. But you, obviously it's been an advantage for the rest of us because it's helped you create this great site. But what kind of led you that direction?
Yeah, I don't know what was the actual trigger. I do remember that my father wanted me to become an investment banker. He was a biologist. He was a scientist and studied birds. And his whole thing was, you can have nature and all that you love on the side, but you got to make money, and it's important to make money. And so, of course, I was out to prove that I can make money and I can change the world at the same time. So that was part of my impetus. But also, I've always realized that the power of the markets and the power of business. And so business has created much of the problems in the world today. And the standard business practices are pretty destructive. And so and we've gotten to where we are at this point in history where our ecosystems are failing. And we're in a pretty tough spot in an awful lot of ways, I think. And the future is a little scary for my children and when you look at what's happened to the environment. And so, but that we've gotten there through business, but to me that also means that the answer is also business. If you can kind of leverage that same power to do good, then you can have an amazing impact on the world. And so nonprofits serve an incredibly important role in the world, and there are certain things that nonprofits can do that for-profits will never be able to do. But for-profit companies, by their nature, are very good at certain things and about creating – one of the things is to create value for their clients or for their customers. And if they can create that value for their customers, then they have a business that they can perpetuate. And if you have a business that you can perpetuate, and basically where the funds to feed the business go back into to making the business even stronger, you all of a sudden have this self-perpetuating thing that can do either bad or can do good. And so What we've done with Care 2 is, I think, create an engine for good. And so our entire business is about doing good. So we make money by empowering individuals to make the world a better place. We get paid to basically promote by advertisers and sponsors and nonprofits to get in front of and connect with those people that are doing good. So the more people that are doing good on our site, the more money we're going to generate. The more money we're going to generate, the more features and services we're going to be able to create and continue that that cycle of goodness. So that's we feel like we've got this engine for good.
It's very cool. I mean, because I mean, having been a member for a while now and having and there are butterfly credits on the site, I should tell people. So I've got, you know, a few thousand butterfly credits. You know, and actually, I should say that the butterfly credits, I think the most of them I got, the most I've gotten are from the greeting cards I sent last year. Because I love your greeting cards because they say 100% tree free on the postage stamp, little fake postage stamp that goes on
yep.
them. And I love that because, you know, a lot of times I think people sometimes will get these free greeting cards and they think, oh, someone's being cheap or something. And I actually do it because I think I like them going back to the Care 2 site and, you know, potentially engaging. And if they choose not to, that's fine too. But, you know, it's a good cause. And I also like them to know that it's because it's, you know, not taking up a tree that
right.
I'm sending it, you know, because I only send... You know, I think a lot of people probably do this where, you know, only people, you know, in the immediate family really get cards because we put pictures in, you know, or something that, you know, parents care about. But for the rest of folks, you know, it's just going to go in a recycle bin anyway. So why not?
Right.
Why not do something that's more sustainable?
Yeah. Let's talk about butterfly credits, but first of all, I'll say that, greeting cards were one of the first features that we offered on the site, in part because I knew that women send 80% of all greeting cards, and women are the leaders when it comes to causes and to social movements. And so I really wanted to get women on the site, and we're about 70 to 75% female audience actually on Care 2. And so we wanted to get... basically use these greeting cards as a way to get in front of potential new members and kind of do viral marketing through that. And it's proven to be a very effective way to get people that care about all sorts of environmental and social causes back onto our site through these greeting cards. And so they're tree-free. There's a whole bunch of, you know, goodness to sending an electronic greeting card versus a traditional paper card. And they also do generate these butterfly credits. And so... The butterfly credits are basically our kind of frequent flyer program, so that we give people credits for taking action on our site and doing good things. And you know, you earn every time you send an electronic greeting card through our site, you generate, I think it's 5 credits. And if you aggregate enough of these credits, you can redeem them. And when you redeem them on our site, what you get is actually a gift that makes the world a better place. So, for example, you can buy a day of clean drinking water. You can buy a tree. You can, buy a mosquito net. There's things like these. Presents are basically not for oneself, but they're for the world. And so it's a very altruistic kind of approach to this, but we find that our members love this model and love taking action and supporting these causes through this Butterfly Rewards program.
Isn't that nice? Nice to see it come around, because I've gotten, I remember last year, maybe I did it even the year before, but I know that I've gotten a few where people, it's gotten to them soon enough that they've decided to use it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty exciting, too, when you kind of see it come around.
Yeah.
And feel like, wow, you know, they've gotten involved in the Care 2 network because, you know, you chose to send this particular greeting card as opposed to pay to, you know, to send one from some other service. And you have the other thing that people should know about the greeting cards is, and I don't know if you get them to donate their time, but there are some pretty good artists that do the cards. So they're not like these cheapy cards. They're not ugly at all. They're great cards. You'd pay for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there. We've actually got who I think is the best e-card artist in the world, who's Camilla Erickson, who's one of the co-founders of Care 2, actually. And so she joined us right at the start, and Because I realize the potential for e-cards to be an important part of this this ecosystem, and so she's amazing, and those cards are amazing, and yeah, they're absolutely as high quality as sites that you will pay for, and so they're all free on Care2, and you're doing something good at the same time, so it's like a you know double triple kind of positive there. So and there's something like in total we have. I think over 25,000 cards, actually, because we do have cards from other artists as well, and we've had a number of contributors over the years. So it's a pretty amazing collection. You know, we don't talk about ourselves as a greeting card site, but it is it's an important piece of the overall puzzle. We're asked frequently, you know, how did you get 15 million members, and where did all these people come from? And it's actually surprising that there actually isn't a single big, there's not one place where they're all coming from. They're actually coming from a variety of directions, and you know, eCards is one of them. It's not the biggest at all, but it is one of many. The petitions, we get a lot of folks coming through that. We've got a lot of people coming just for the community. We've got a lot of people coming for the healthy and green living content and other news. It's really from a broad array of directions, which is important to create this this large constituency of folks that all care about making the world a better place. And there's not one single answer to how to make the world a better place, but there are many, many ways and opinions on how to do that. And so we're trying to take this very broad and holistic approach to changing one's own life and also changing the world around us.
That's great. I think one of the things that seems like it would be a challenge in your role would be the sort of, you know, where do I spend resources, money, et cetera, you know, in terms of parts of the site, right? Because everything's doing good. You've got a lot of, you know, you've got community, people in the community creating petitions that make real change. You've got people communicating stories to you in this unique news network. You've got all of these different actions going on. How do you help, you know, how do you make the decisions within the organization? First of all, because, you know, a lot of people that listen to the show are very entrepreneurially focused, and I think it's interesting to get in the head of someone like yourself who's taken a good cause and do have, you know, sort of the training of an entrepreneur and are now managing this organization in this very key role. So how do you manage that?
Yeah, that's actually one of the toughest things we have to manage. It's in many ways, I wish there was just one single killer app that we had that was 95% of the volume of everything and you know the importance of the site. And unfortunately, for better or for worse, it's not that. It's a broad array of things, and it is a constant challenge to provide the resources that we need for each of the different areas. So the way that we make those decisions, it's really multifold. We look at a lot of the data from the actual usage on the site. What are people actually using? How are they using it? I'm kind of a data junkie, so I look at that, the metrics, kind of all the time. Then also, we listen to our members. We get a lot of feedback from our members on what they like, what they don't like. You know, if there are bugs or whatever that can help to set our priorities. We then we work with all of our employees to kind of get their ideas, basically eventually filter it up. And we're actually going through this process literally this week and next week. We're trying to set our 2011 roadmap right now. And so we're in the heart of this. And it's, we set some high-level priorities in terms of what are some of the general themes that we're trying to accomplish over the next year? What do we think we need to do to really take this to the next level and empower more people to make a difference? And then work our way back, say, okay, well, so these are all the ideas and that we're getting from the community and from our various constituents, and then looking at it from the top of these are some of the general themes that we need to think about over the next year, and then basically try to prioritize those based on which we think are going to have the biggest impact. And it is not easy at all to do that, but we're learning as we go. Each year we learn how to do it a little bit better, and we make progress.
Very cool. So when you went to found, as the founder, Were you able to sort of self-fund in the beginning from the success you'd had in the greeting card sector, or, you know, from a business perspective, or from a nonprofit perspective, you know, you're kind of in the middle, right? I think you are you a nonprofit, or are you?
No, so we're actually we're a B corporation. So corporation, which is kind of a new form of corporation, is one that has met certain criteria for social and environmental good, kind of gone through a screening and been certified for that. And then we have the right to consider other stakeholders in a potential liquidity event. So basically, so if Care2 were to be acquired someday, let's say we're a standard C corporation. Standard C corporations actually have to sell to the highest bidder. Basically, they have to maximize the financial return to the shareholders. That is it's a requirement. What a B corporation allows is for the corporation to consider other constituents. So, if we want to turn down the highest financial offer, but instead to consider, you know, how that would impact our local suppliers, our the environment, our employees, whatever we want to consider, we can consider those things as factors and turn down actually the highest financial bidder. Basically, we're not selling the company, but just we have that. That is what one of the things that B corporation status allows us to do.
Right, and it's a pretty new thing. So you know, it's kind of cool because you're blazing a trail in a sense too, because, you know, having that certification is you know, needs to mean something. So it's a very important thing that there be some high profile examples about what makes being a B Corp successful as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still this perception out there, and it was kind of inherent in your question earlier about you know, why I went to business school, but of that. There's a perception out there that nonprofit's good, for-profit's bad. And it's, you know, we're seeing that there's more of a blend now these days. But in general, we certainly see that among on occasion from our members, and where it's just that historically probably pretty much has been the case, although there certainly are plenty of examples where there are nonprofits are not good and for-profits are good. But there shouldn't be that kind of binary a reality out there, and I think eventually my hope is that the taxation status actually would consider that as well. So basically, for-profit companies are taxed, nonprofits are not taxed, even if the nonprofit is not doing good things for the world, and even if the for-profit is doing good things in the world, they don't take that into consideration. So hopefully, in the future, there'll be a little bit more of a spectrum when it comes to the way that the government and society thinks of and treats corporations that are doing good. And there's actually already some in Philadelphia. They've actually recently introduced some incentives for B corporations, basically, because they recognize the potential for B corporations to change the world. So I think it's a pretty exciting new development in the last couple of years. And it has, you know, actually 30 years ago there was no such thing as an LLC. Today there are millions and millions of LLCs mm-hmm. out there. So it really does have the potential to have a pretty tremendous impact on the world. We're just at the very forefront of it, and so you know, we want to jump on and get our support behind it. We're actually doing a campaign right now to help get the word out about B corporations and help people to realize that there are better corporations out there. So
I think that there's also this piece too, and you know, the Peace Corps volunteer in me, you know, kind of speaks to this, which is that, you know, if people were to be critical of you being a corporation at all, you know, there's so many good reasons to make sure that companies are corporations, to make sure that they sustain themselves, because if there's no incentive to keep quality people as part of the organization, if that's the, you know, if it needs to be a B corporation rather than a nonprofit to do better work more consistently, I think, you know, it's it's still, you know, you're still taking in the consideration of all the stakeholders out there.
Yeah,
so.
there have been some books written on this recently about how actually the nonprofits in many ways are really constrained because of the nature of their funding and because of the nature of the requirement, the tax status requirements on them, and that's not a good thing. And there certainly are some advantages to being a for-profit company, and so we have some challenges when it comes to on the marketing side, because I think there's this consumer perspective of, well, it's a corporation, therefore it can't possibly be doing good, and yet we are. But we do have, we can give stock options to employees, and we've got this social good mission, environmentally good mission that is good for employees. It really focuses us on figuring out how to create real value for our customers, and that's really important. We're not constrained by the funding cycle that a lot of nonprofits are. We don't have to go out for foundation grants, which can be very restrictive in terms of how a nonprofit can spend that money, and that can be really challenging, especially when you're in an kind of entrepreneurial startup situation where you have to be dynamic, you have to be quick on your feet in order to modify your plans as you go forward. And we would have been gone, and we wouldn't have gotten funding many times over the past 12 years if we'd been a nonprofit. I can tell you we wouldn't be around today. So that's enabled us to kind of take our destiny into our own hands and find a model that actually is going to work, and now create, really have this engine for good, which is a pretty neat thing.
Yeah, and I would love to see. Now, have you guys won any awards yet for your existence? I mean, I'm looking at, Inc.com's breakout companies of 2010, and I mean, you've certainly, in terms of, they've got a lot of, created this many users or have done this, done that, and I look, and you're talking about the social good you're doing, and you're a corporation, I look at some of these companies here. One being Groupon, people have such goodwill towards it. Yelp, people have great goodwill, and I like both those companies very well myself. But they're not even B Corps, people think highly of them. But have you won awards for?
Well, we were the Green Company of the Year, actually, People's Choice Award from Green America last year, and. We've won a number of other awards over the years. I'd say in general we've taken a pretty low-profile kind of approach, kind of flying under the radar maybe in some ways. It's not about going out there and talking us up so much as it is about kind of making the world a better place. Like really just we've been very focused on really empowering people and really on in getting results. And so I'd say, we're not kind of let's go stand in the limelight and kind of say rah-rah and look how good we are kind of a company. We are much more of a let's do the right thing and make the world a better place. Now, obviously, there is the more people know about us, the better that is. And so we definitely want to get the word out about us. But I'd just say that's probably taken a secondary seat over the years versus the let's just make this a successful organization. So.
Well, if Inc. is listening, they need to start following you. If Zynga gets to make the list, Pandora, Kickstarter, I mean, you guys, I don't know. I just feel like, there's a lot of good that you are doing, which, and I'm so sorry for clearing my throat there. But let's talk a little bit about the number of users that you do have, because you have an impressive user base.
Yeah, well, we have almost 15 million members, actually, and we've got something like, 9 or 10 million of those are on one form of newsletter or another, and so we send out a variety of newsletters on, whether it's the Action Alert ones or the news, or it's Healthy and Green Living. We've got a variety of different ways to keep people informed, whether they come to our to our site or not. So, and then we've got other folks that are just kind of seeing our petitions out on our Take Action Platform network, which is, such as I mentioned earlier, with Huffington Post and Grist and sites like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think what probably is very interesting to people is what you think you might do next, or, you know, what are the more, or maybe even more specifically, I'm looking in my news feed right now, and I see iMedia Connection just posted a story called "Tis the Season to Give Back Digitally." So, you know, traditionally you think of giving your time at homeless shelters or, you know, canned food drives, and people are looking at making an impact to the digital ecosystem, you know, more fast, more efficient. And Care Too is really a great embodiment of that. There's a lot you can get done if you just spent like 15 minutes, let's say, on the site, taking a look at some petitions, clicking on a few buttons, taking a look at some news or adding news to the network. But, you know, I'd be curious to know, you know, kind of, you know, for me this year, I know, I don't. For whatever reason, I saw a PSA that Barack Obama, our president, did earlier this year on Feeding America, and that became kind of just that. That's been, you know, when I realized how many people are not eating because of the way the, you know, the economy is, it just made me have a hard time. So we did, you know, we did a couple of shelters and new, you know, with company or organizations we know have low overhead and, you know, can provide X number of meals, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just curious, like, you know, how much activity is happening around different topics, because there's so many this holiday season that, you know, really worth talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't generally take the, what I would say is the leadership role in a lot of these campaigns. We actually are kind of the middleman, in a sense of we're working with, you know, all these different nonprofit organizations, and we've got all these millions of members that are on our site, and we're trying to basically give them the voice that they are looking for. And so we are not kind of coming up with, well, we think, you know, homelessness is the big topic for next year, and that's what we're going to focus on. What we do is we support, if somebody comes to us and says, you know, we think that homelessness is a really important topic, and we will work with them to help get that message out to our members. So we are really, you know, covering a broad array of topics. We actually, we have in our, if you go to our cause channels, we've got blogs on everything from what we say real food or kind of the slow food movement, education, animal welfare, global warming, politics, health policy, women's rights, human rights. You know, you name it. There's a lot of different topics that we are promoting and getting the word out about, and just building awareness around. And so we've got probably 80 different bloggers that are contributing to these blogs, and keeping people up to date on all these different topics. So I think there's no matter who you are, no matter what you're passionate about, you're going to find a way to make a difference on Care Too, and that's kind of that's, you know, fundamentally our goal. So it's my belief that a lot of the problems we see in the world, we may say, is kind of a function of government, is a function of business, or you know, some big evil entity out there. Well, the reality is that at the end of the day, it all comes down to the individual, and it comes down to getting individuals engaged, informed, engaged, and basically motivated to make a difference. And so what government does, what business does, is really a reflection of what the public is willing to put up with or interested in consuming or you know, interested in seeing happen. And so if we can create this movement, if we can get millions and millions of people involved to be part of the solution, then I think that we will force business and we will force government to move in the right direction. And so kind of fundamentally, that's what we're all here for.
That's fantastic. We only have a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you sort of if there's anything that you can preview or talk about in terms of what's next on care2.com.
Well, one of the main focuses right now is just on the social side, and what I mean by that is kind of the social sharing and extending Care2's influence beyond just the borders of Care2. So, making it easier for people to share what they're seeing on Care2 with their friends on Facebook or other sites, also. Making it easier for people to take action on other sites. So the widget that I mentioned before, where basically a publisher can post petitions on their site. People can sign that petition right there in line with other content on their site. That's one example of, I think, one of the innovative things we've done this year, and certainly what we're going to do a lot more of in the future. We're doing a lot more on Facebook. There's some neat things that we'll be releasing in Q1, which I can't talk about, but are related to both of those topics there, where basically helping to take the power that people have on Care2 and putting it in the hands of others no matter what where they are.
Very cool. Well, make sure you keep us posted so we can help spread the word. You have a great Twitter following, and everybody should be following you. We should say your Twitter handle, which is your last name, Painter, Payntner. Am I right?
Yep, that's correct.
Good.
Yes. Thank you.
Got it right on the first try. Woohoo! And definitely check out Care2 has its own channel. Am I right in saying that?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've actually got several of them, but there's Care2, Care, and the number 2, and we've got a variety of others, but Care2 would be a good one to start with.
And then, where can they find you on Facebook?
Care2 or Facebook Petitions. So we run the Petitions app on Facebook, but Care2 is our primary page on Care2 and Facebook.
Great. So those are all great places to start and learn about this tremendous network that's growing and growing and touching people. And this season, I really encourage you, even if you just have an internet connection and a computer, you can make a big difference. And Randy, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Well, thank you. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been great to have you on. It's been a long time coming. Thanks so much, Randy. And
all
I'll
right,
let you get
Jennifer.
On with your day.
Thank you.
That was Randy Painter, who's founder, CEO of Care2.com. Again, they're on Twitter and Facebook. And they have just a multitude of fantastic things you can get done on their site, which is care2.com. And so thank you to him. Thank you to each and every one of you who's tuned in to listen to the A-List today with me, Jennifer Lindsay. We hope you enjoyed the program. If you did, we'd love it if you'd be so kind as to friend us or add us to your favorites here on Blog Talk Radio, or head on over to iTunes and subscribe or rate us there. We want to hear from you always, so please tweet or Facebook in questions to our Twitter or Facebook pages now for any guests that we're planning to have on the show. We'll be kicking off 2010 programming quite soon, so we'll be looking for your feedback there on who you'd like to see on the program in the coming year. As always, you can keep up with the latest at jenniferlindsay.com. That's S-A-Y. And in the meantime, have a great weekend.